1-800-889.
At the 2015 Love Life Women's Conference, you'll discover that the road you're on is one filled with possibilities. So get ready to rethink what's possible with messages by Joyce Meyer, Craig Groeschel, and Darlene Check, and worship with Christy Knuckles, Anthony Evans Jr., and Matt Redman. Come discover the roadmap to the beautiful life God has for you in St. Louis, Missouri, September 17th through the 19th. Register today and save 15%.
Thanks again for listening today. And to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's Broadcast Day is underwritten by Krause & Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 1957, Krause & Crane certified technicians have serviced all makes and models of air conditioners and provides an energy savings agreement for any commercial or residential need. Krause & Crane, the service and replacement specialist with over 50 years of experience, is available 24 hours for emergency service at 287-1227.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
The first battle is over identity. Now, mark this, write this down if you're taking notes. Correct identity disconnects us from the system. Correct identity disconnects us from the system, by the way, which God is judging, and connects us to the life that flows from eternity. Correct identity disconnects. I can be in Egypt, but I'm not of Egypt. I can be in Egypt, but Egypt ain't in me. See, that's where your light starts to shine. Because everybody else is going there to work. Everybody that's showing up, I'm just hypothetic, everybody that's showing up is sour. You can see the scowl. They don't want to be there. They hate the job. You know, and here you come. You know, you're in Egypt, but Egypt ain't in you. You come in and the light's shining and you're looking, you know, you're expecting God. And, you know, this is going to be a great day today. Somebody, what's so great about it? You know, but you come in and you got a whole different mindset. Why? Egypt ain't in you. You know, you have your identity. Your identity disconnects you. I got hope for tomorrow. If this job buckles up, if it goes bankrupt, that's all right. My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold is his. See that phrase, listen. That phrase, a cattle on 1,000 hills, is not God only owns 1,000 hills. What if all the 1,000 take it up? Now that phrase have to do with God owning everything. And if he needs to, he can create something for you. Because he's a creator. He'll make room at the top for you. God can do that. When everybody else saying ain't no room, no, you're not going to make it. No, you have been left out. God says, no, that's my firstborn. That can't be no slave. What you talking about? Correct identity disconnects you from the system which God is judging and connects you to the life that flows from eternity. Look at Numbers 3 and 13. Now, I want you to see this very clearly. I pray that you'll understand and grasp this. You establish your identity in a day of crises. You know, sometimes you don't really know who you are. And sometimes you don't really know who your friends are until you need them. And they ain't there, even though they're there. You know what I mean? So identity is established in a day of crises. Numbers 3:13, the Lord says, because all the firstborn are mine. Now listen to what he says. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. In the day of crises, when God smote the firstborn of Egypt, he hallowed his firstborn. It's interesting. You have to understand this. The system is going to be judged. But while the system is being judged, the church is going to be rising. While we see things getting darker in the world, the light for the church is going to shine brighter and brighter. Come on, it's going to get better and better in Goshen. God chose the day of identity as the day of crises, just to prove to the world that he alone is sovereign God. See, the firstborn in Egypt, look at this. The firstborn in Egypt, the firstborn were always heir to the inheritance. Amen, the firstborn. So Pharaoh's firstborn, all the way to the slaves, their firstborn, the servants in his house, were heirs. When God smote those, that was the final plague. That was the thing that broke the back of that nation. A whole generation of heirs were taken out. There was no one to inherit. So they gladly or freely gave Israel all that they asked, because there was no one now. So when God smote, or in the day of crises, when he dealt with the firstborn of Egypt, he hallowed the firstborn of his. Understand this, because you'll see this in life, in crises. And don't you be so, you know, don't you have more compassion than Jesus? Because sometime on a job or in a situation, God will move someone to make room for you. I'm talking about, and you know, it's just hypothetical, but there are times where God is moving, and what he did, he smote that firstborn in order to hallow his firstborn. Number two, God's people must stand in a place of faith. The first thing is there'll be identity battles, but then you must learn to stand in a place of faith. Exodus 12, when God was about to bring them out, when he's about to smote the firstborn of the Egyptians, he said in verse 11, "And thus shall you eat," he's talking about the lamb that was to be roasted, "with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." The Lord was about to pass through Egypt. And he said, "I want you to get ready." Now, they'd seen all the other plagues, but God is saying, tonight, you leave Egypt. They had to have faith. God said, "I want your shoes on your feet. I want your clothes on. I want you girded. I want you ready to go." In other words, they had to do an act of faith, because God said, "I'm coming through tonight." So in order to break these bondages, there have to be acts of faith on the part of God's children. You have to tell somebody, you got to stand in faith. You have to, we have to look beyond the natural. Now remember, 400 years. Yeah, they saw all these things, but still, you know, when they got into the wilderness, Egypt was still in them. But they had to look beyond the natural to hear from another realm. When you hear from the other realm, what is ordinary takes on an extraordinary dimension. When you hear from God, are you hearing? What's ordinary no longer is ordinary. It takes on another dimension of extraordinary. When you move in faith, the ordinary is not just ordinary anymore. The natural is not ruling over you anymore. You are hearing from another realm, and therefore faith is sparked in your spirit. You can do things because you are hearing, your spirit is bearing witness, and you are preparing, even though you've never been out of there before. Then 400 years, nobody's ever left there. But yet God has spoken, and now you put your shoes on. You're roasting the lamb. Amen. You're girded with your loincloth, and you got all your stuff packed, because God said, tonight I'm coming through, and tonight will be your deliverance. Come on. We did a prophetic act this morning, got up and walked away from that mountain we've been walking around. So by the time you leave here today, you are believing in faith, expecting God to cause you to hear things from that other realm that will put the extraordinary on the ordinary. Amen. We think about it a moment. What God had to do to get these people ready. But crises, the crisis is not to destroy you. God is always working in your behalf, whether crises or whatever. It's always going to work on our behalf. but he had to do a crisis to identify them. This is my firstborn. You know, some things will never happen without confrontation. Let me close with this, because I have a number of points. This, I think we're going to really experience some impartation in this series. Paul, when he went to Philippi, had a dream. A man in Macedonia said, come over here and help us. And so a whole party, they went to Macedonia. And Paul met Lydia, a maker in purple. She dyed cloth and such. And they had a little Bible study in the next day. And Paul stayed there. And the next day they were going to pray. And the woman with the spirit of divination followed closely to him and was saying, these are men of the Most High God that show unto us the way of salvation. Now that sounds real cool. Like they're getting some free advertisement, right? I mean, it was the truth. These are men that are going to show unto us the way of salvation. But see, even when a devil is speaking stuff like that, the spirit by which it's propagated is not a liberating spirit. He can speak stuff like that, and that may be true, but he's making sure nobody hears it. See, it was like a thorn in Paul's side. He was there to hassle, to torment Paul. But see, after a few days, Paul waited. See, this is where we must become more mature, where we can wait upon the Lord, and then we bust a move. See, some of us would have got a stick after her right away. Get away from here, you crazy lady. We'd have got the deacons or somebody, go get her. Remember Titans, that one team they played, and they were out there doing their little dance in warm-ups. And he said, who do they think they are, the Beatles? And then the coach called his mean rattlesnake guy. He said, Tyler. Yeah, coach. He said, shut him up hard. See, some of us would react from our flesh. But we need to learn how to wait. You need to learn how to wait until the opportune time. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times I've moved too quickly. You've moved too quickly. We've done different things, and there have been times you've moved exactly when God wants you to move, and you've seen the result. Well, when Paul knew to move, when the Spirit of God got grieved in Paul, he turned to the woman and said, come out of her. He was speaking to that demon that was disrupting their services. And that spirit came out in the self same hour. But see, that woman was the source of their income. They made lots of money off of her. So when Paul did that, and the magistrate saw what had happened, and the woman had gotten delivered, they ran upon Paul. The mob formed around Paul and Silas. And they went to tear them into pieces, to beat them down. And then the magistrates took them, and they beat them publicly, and then threw them in prison. See, a lot of people would have thought, you know, that was all messed up. Well, see, God was really sparing their life by getting them put in prison. Otherwise, that mob would have killed them. They're knocked out. It's about 7 in the evening. 5 hours later, about midnight, they come to. They're in stocks. Their backs are bloody. Their clothes all torn up. They're sweating. They're down there with the rats and the sewage. You know, all the sewage, the inner prison. Those are the hardened prisoners. The sewage, the stench, the stuff from the toilets. When I say sewage, the stuff from the toilets were down there. That's what they was in, bleeding. But at midnight, they begin to sing and pray. Again, I believe it was a move of the Holy Ghost. Because, see, if it wasn't a move of the Holy Ghost, they'd been complaining. Paul, why was you there? Tell me, couldn't we have done this different? You know, flesh. But they was in the spirit. They started singing. They went to praying. And then God intervened again. Shook everything, opened everything up. The jailer got saved. Hello? But I want you to see something. It was all a result of a confrontation. We've come to the close of part one of this series entitled Transformation, Breaking the Bondage. The body of Christ must know who they are. We are God's firstborn and the apple of his eye. Colossians 1:18 lets us know who we are. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us this weekend at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our service times are 11 a.m. Sunday morning and 7 p.m. Sunday night. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 877-877-